Well, praise God. This is the last session for this weekend. I'm sure there will be continued meetings in the house through this week up till Wednesday, I guess, when we begin to return. Let us pray. Father, we thank you very much for the privilege to know you, for the privilege of the gift of your Son, for the privilege of being called sons of God, being called to be sons of God, to be engaged in this relationship. Thank you for the light that you have caused to shine into our hearts. And today, O God, we pray that you might open the heavens and let there be light within our soul, within the deepest resources, all the depths and the chambers and all the natures. You see all the different dimensions of our being. We pray today that there be light. Let there be light. Open the eyes of understanding. Open the windows of heaven. Even the windows of the deep, the fountains of the deep. Lord, let there be light. Let every darkness be judged. Oh Lord, that you move us into a new level of relationship with you today. Let your word be like the light and like the fire, like the hammer. Let it break down every obstacle. This mail, this Goliath armor, even this nature of the behemoth that is so closely knit that there is no space. We pray today that there will be a breakdown of every such covering. Let your word have a direct and maximal effect upon our soul. Engrave therein your name. Say, write a new name. Write a new name. Even the city of our God, the heavenly Jerusalem, that will be that people who will be our dwelling place. Let there be strength. Let there be life. Let there be rivers of water running. Let there be fixed. Let there be deliverance, O God. Let there be help and encouragement. Oh my God, let there be light all over. That at the end of today, we'll say, we know, we'll confess that we have been with you and we will never be the same again. We'll just bless your name. Thank you for your word that you have sent and that you are sending. We know you are the living word. We do not ask for the letter, we ask for the spirit, we ask for the living word himself. Let the mind of Christ come to us and minister life, minister vitality, that will no longer be children tossed about with every wind of doctrine, of situation, of circumstance. Will bring us to a place of maturity. We bless your name, O God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Early this morning, I was hearing, well, there was some ministry that was coming. I would like to, it's like a continuation of where we stopped yesterday. And actually this morning it's like a background, so I would just like to finish. Well, before I do that, I want to put up, can I write on the blackboard? Okay, good. I want to put up an address. Some of you already know where you can get some material, tapes, messages, and things. The first one is The Living Bread. .net. It has all the messages of this Uganda meetings from last year, I guess, are all there, and other conferences and meetings. There are other books there. Then you have New Hope International. So please copy that, write it down. I think it's .org. They have Preaching Beyond Words. I know you know Reaching Beyond Words. This is Preaching Beyond Words. Words. This one has a lot of, it's like a library of messages and stuff. Then I think you have Sunlight Devotional. Sunlight Devotional. I don't know, is it .org? Okay. There is End Time Kingdom of God, that's what I'm at. End Time Kingdom. End Time Kingdom of God. Is it .org too? So these are, some of them have other websites. So when you go, it gives you. Is it .com? Uh-huh. Number four, solardevotional.com. Now the reason why I've done that is that, you know, as we ended with you know, practical tips on how to overcome. Is it .org? Which one? Okay. .org. Okay. Maybe not. Okay. So on a practical basis, those who are teachers, you know that when you want to take something from a child, you want the child to change. You don't say, tell the child, give me, the child is holding a knife, you say, give me the knife. That is a wrong way of teaching. You know, what do? You have to give the child sweet. And as the child is collecting the sweet, he sees that the sweet is better than the knife. So as you're giving the sweet, you take the knife. Okay, the soul is the child now, all right. And have a lot of bad habits you want to stop, all right. So you must give the soul that something. You must bring something good, something exciting, more exciting than movie, WhatsApp. You must bring something. So as you're bringing it, then the soul is okay. I'm not ready to drop movie life. So what we're offering is a conference lifestyle. Write it, conference lifestyle. So the things you do when you go to a conference, what do you do when you go to a conference? Sister, what do you do? Conference lifestyle. What does that mean? So I recommend this. I recommend conference lifestyle. Alright. All the things you'll be doing this morning till now will be a lifestyle. Plus work. Conference lifestyle plus work. Or study if you're a student. So you add this to this, and that will become your new lifestyle. So try it. Becky, you want to try it? Conference lifestyle. It will take some fighting. Are you ready to fight? Okay, get ready. The devil will fight you and prove to you why it's so dull, uninteresting, not exciting. But for instance, they say don't add salt to the food. You know, if you are trained yourself to always add salt before you eat, you feel if you don't do it, nothing's going to happen. But it's actually the opposite. When you do it 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times, you suddenly acquire a taste and you stop the other one. So you just need to persist for about 1 or 2 or 3 weeks of this conference lifestyle, and your old lifestyle will just, you see that you don't need it anymore, you miss it. Okay, so today, this afternoon, we're talking about the conversion of the soul. I want to say something about the conversion of the soul. This is a build on yesterday and this morning, the conversion of the soul. I would like you to write down some basic things. There are 6 steps, or 6 or 7 steps, I've written down, and I'm timing myself. I'm trying to time myself. I've written down time. How good to take it. Alright? So we're going from the brazen altar to brazen laver, and we'll end up at the ark. The conversion of the soul. Okay? And I'm going to be reading a lot of scriptures. Let's start from the beginning. Psalm 19 verse 7. If you see, you can read. What does Psalm 19 7 say? Okay. So that is our starting point. The conversion of the soul. A good student will ask, conversion from what to what? You know, see, when you read your Bible, you don't just read, you have to stop and go a little bit, because it's not said, but it's inside. Okay? So we are trying to dig a little bit and you get more information. So, conversion from what to what? Alright? So it says, the word of God is perfect. Converted, so I can choose to believe that my soul will be converted. You can choose to say, well, it cannot be converted. Okay, so it's a choice you have to make. But the word of God is telling you, the word of God is perfect, converting the soul. Alright, somebody says, what is the conversion from? From darkness to light. Okay? A nature of darkness to a nature of light. God is light. And when God created Adam, what did he say? He created Adam in his own image and likeness. Is God darkness? God said, God is light. The Bible says that we're born in darkness. You see the point? So, my soul has to convert from a nature of darkness to a nature of light. And he tells me how that will take place. Is the word of God that will convert, and the other things that we have looked at. Without going too much detail, the soul has various let me use the word capacity, various abilities, the various ways in which the soul can be expressed. One, the soul must be married. Okay? Must be joined to a higher spirit. Okay? So, two, the soul is has the nature of either being a slave, being in bondage, or being free. Alright, so you can say there's a conversion from being weakling. Now, someone who is weakling means, Bebre was talking about taking a decision. You know? Now, to take a decision and not being able to, or not having the power to bring that decision into effect. That's the difference between a son of God and a slave or a weakling. A slave wishes to be free. But there's a place where you not only wish to be free, you have the capacity to walk in it. So that's where this, that's what we're going to. So the purpose of this is to bring our Christian experience beyond where it is now, where, you know, it's not just I'm born again, I love Jesus, and that's where it stops. It's beyond that. It's talking about practicality. Okay, that God is saying, instead of you being a slave to sin, being a slave to the world, you can come to a place where you are in charge, you are in dominion. He said, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. It makes you a winner and overcomer. So it's a transition. Alright? There are other things, you know, down the road that we can ascribe to the soul. Now, another important concept about the soul is that the soul is naturally a spiritual being. Naturally. That means naturally, your mind is naturally at home in the realm of the spirit than being at home in the natural plane where you're a doctor or a lawyer or whatever it is, where you go to school and you learn something. That's a natural use of the mind. That is actually a second level. That is not the default nature, if you understand. Not the way God created the mind to be. Alright? For example, God did not create your soul to see with two small round things. That is it's because the soul has fallen that it has to depend on senses. You depend on your physical eyes. By God's own design, we will see in the scripture, the mind sees. Everything about the mind sees. I don't know. The mind is a seeing organ. I don't know if you understand. The mind knows. It sees. It perceives. Okay? So the soul doesn't need the eye. Of course, to function on the earth, you do. But the nature of the soul is a spiritual function where from your mind, you know God. Alright? We talked a little bit of that yesterday. Okay, so when the Bible talks about the conversion of the soul, there is some God has something in mind. He's saying, you go from somebody who is dependent on the physical life to someone who becomes dependent on the physical, on the spiritual. In other words, you become used to hearing God than hearing men. You understand? Uh-huh. So your ability to function in the spirit becomes much more awakened, as it were, than what it is now. So we're looking at that kind of transition. So the conversion of the soul from where your senses, where your ability to relate to God is shut down, to where it is functioning and actually working. Let's look at the scripture to see if that will help us. Ephesians 5:14. Ephesians 5:14. Remember, we're talking about the conversion of the soul. Ephesians 5:14. You know, when you, after eating, that's the problem, you know, afternoon meetings, when you eat, and you know, in medicine, we have what they call glucose surge. When you eat, there's a lot of glucose that comes. And the glucose is heavy, the body is trying to deal with it, water moves around, and naturally your body shuts down, so you want to sleep. Alright, it's body physiology. What do? So if you're in a meeting, you have to shake it around. Okay, you have to shake it around so that you can sleep. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. So what? Yes, Ephesians 5:14. So I'm going to be doing a lot of shaking around.
Therefore it says, awake and sleep, and awake from the dead, and Christ shall shine, make them dawn upon you as vigilant.
Okay, let me read from this one. Which translation is that one?
Amplified.
Okay. So, wherefore he said, awake thou that sleepest, and do what? Arise from the dead. And what will happen? And Christ shall give thee life. So who is this person that is sleeping and that waking that needs life? Who is the person? And where is the soul? Inside you. So as you're going around, you're walking, you're alive, but somebody is sleeping. Somebody is still enjoying your sleep, heavy sleep. It's a slumber. And needs to be awakened. I remember the soul, we said the soul has two realms. There is the conscious part of your soul, and there is the unconscious part of your soul. Just like in your body, there are areas of your body you are not conscious right now. You may not know that you are breathing or that your heart is beating. You are not conscious of it. God has taken it from you. Alright? So also in the spirit, in your soul, there are aspects of your soul. For instance, in your mind, let me think this. Let me. There are aspects of your thinking that you are not in control. This, you are not conscious. So those are the things you need to bear in mind. So here he's saying, Christ shall give thee life. So it brings a new concept, something important that we shall be looking at. Light in the soul. Light coming into the soul. Now, if light is coming into the soul, what does it mean? That the soul is in darkness. Is that correct? Okay. So if light cannot come if light was there already. So light coming to the soul means that my soul already has darkness in it. Okay? And remember how we closed, we talked about the fallen soul, the fallen natures of the soul. And they will use, somebody will use the word a depraved, that there is something in the nature of my mind that will normally, naturally go do what is contrary to righteousness. Alright, so if I don't push, my mind naturally will not want to pray. That is a nature in me that doesn't want God. Alright, so that requires a little energy, a little push for me to, you know, get there. So he's saying that in Christ, one of the major things in Christ is that light must come into the soul to convert it, to change it, so that it's no longer walking in darkness, but it's, and again, it also brings the thought of resurrection. Alright? Resurrection is not a day. It is an experience. Through this weekend, our soul has been resurrected, has been waking up. You know, we are rising, we are getting quickened, we are, you know, recollecting our senses, we are gradually awakening. It's like a plane that, you know, you see the plane taking off, it runs and it begins to rise. You know, so that's how the soul is rising, it's taking off, and it's separating from the earth. Your emotions, your senses, your appetite, your attachment to things gradually is breaking, and your soul is rising. Alright, that is the experience of resurrection. Okay? So let's go. Remember, I've timed myself. So I want us to read some scriptures relating to the conversion of the soul. John chapter 3, we know that one, but let's read it. John chapter 3, what does it say? John 3:3. Okay, read it again. Pay attention to it. What is the key word in that verse? Read it again. Okay, so you see the word see. So seeing is at the beginning of our experience with God. It's key. Alright? So it means that before a man is born again, he is blind. He doesn't have the ability to see. Alright, to see. And there are several interpretations of that scene. One interesting one is, if you read, check out the word see, it is the Greek word eido. E-I-D-O. It is translated see, to know, to perceive, by the senses. That, some people will tell you that you cannot see with your physical eye. Okay, so to see something means to be aware of something. Alright, and to be aware, to see something, you can see naturally with your physical eyes, or you can see with your spiritual eyes, as is the eyes of your spirit and of your soul. So we are looking at those two levels. Now he says, except a man be born again, he cannot see. Okay, so that means when somebody is born into the world, he lacks the capacity, the ability. In other words, that it's like you come into your house and all the switches are off. There is darkness all over the room. So you need to switch it on to see. Okay? So that experience of being born again is the first time when your spiritual senses get awakened. There is something that happens to it. And in the morning, we saw the thing that, what is it that wakes up the senses? So that's the tabernacle. It always gives us a good guide, so we'll use it. So right now we're looking at number one. I told you we're going through the six of them. So this is the first one. And this is the brazen altar. Okay. So the first sight of the altar is speaks of the four natures of the soul. So this is the mind, will, desire, and then the emotion. Okay. So, and we say, for you to be born again, you must, for the soul to be converted, it must begin a journey. Okay. And that journey is the journey, what you call being born again. But being born again actually means that you begin to see. Amen. You know, so that means your ability to see is judged. And we know in the morning that to do that judgment we need blood. Blood is applied at the four horns. Now, the blood that is applied, blood, that tells us that in the blood is life. So, it's the life of God that comes. That life brings a judgment to the darkness. How do we know that? The Bible tells us that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness does not. Okay. So when light comes into darkness, it's judged. Ephesians tells us that anything that is exposed is judged. So light exposes, so it brings judgment. Okay. So in our initial experience with God, blood comes into the soul. Okay, and what that does is that it quickens us. There is we are energized, we are quickened by the blood. There's a scripture in Titus that gives us that understanding. We are going to be reading a lot of scriptures. So write it down. So when you go home, you can look at it, meditate on it, study it. You can listen to the tape again. And while you are doing that, you are looking at the scripture. Titus chapter 3. Let's say we were regenerated. Is it 2-5 or 3-5? 3-5. Okay, yes. See, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So there's a regeneration. That something that was dead is regenerated. It comes alive. You know. So when the blood comes, the blood causes us to be awakened. And the blindness of the soul, that's when you say blindness, that's our inability to see God, to know God, to relate to God, to hear God. So at that point there is a change, and we begin to see God, we begin to relate to God, we begin to respond to God. Praise God. So that's John chapter 1. So John chapter 1 says, talks about the sin. Unless we are born again, we cannot see. But it doesn't stop there. It goes a little more. It says, except you are born of the water and of the spirit, you cannot what? Enter into the kingdom. So that is another experience. And when the Bible talks about the kingdom, it's actually speaking about this. Okay. And it talks about the water and the word, the spirit. So here is spirit and here is word. And usually we know that. Is that correct? Yes. The word is represented by the table of shewbread. Okay, and why the spirit is represented by the lampstand. Okay, so those are the things that bring you into the kingdom. Oh dear, I'm drawing it wrongly. It's because of the way I positioned it. Sorry, let me use another one. Let's do it right. So this is our liver, this is the altar. Okay, and this is the spirit. And then this is the table with bread, 6 loaves of bread, on each make 12. And then this is the ark. Alright. So let's go to the next scripture. Ephesians 4:18. Yes, if you see it, you can read. Okay, so this is another scripture that is saying, that is speaking about blindness of the heart, that is speaking about understanding. Understanding has to do with the mind, you know. So he's saying that before someone is, if you are not born again that day, understanding is blinded, heart is blinded. Now what is the effect of that? He's saying be alienated from the life of God. So that means someone who is not born again cannot relate to God. He is not in his heart, has no relationship, you know, with God. You know. But when the blood comes in, that changes. There's a relationship that starts. And that is why we say that from this brazen altar, it brings you into a covenant relationship with God. It's like Uganda having a bilateral agreement with the United States. That happened during the HIV scourge, you know. A lot of countries began to sign an agreement with Uganda, isn't it? Uh-huh. So, when you receive the blood, you sign an agreement with God. You have an spiritual agreement with God. You know, and there is an example, somebody did that, his name is Abraham. And till today, that agreement stands. When you see a Jew, you know he is benefiting from that agreement. Because God is a covenant keeping God. So, and God's agreement with you is total, comprehensive. He says, blood for blood, life for life. You know, it grants you access into the kingdom of God. The benefits, responsibilities, and so on. And of course, that means nothing can happen to you without God's permission. If any country that attacks, for instance, Syria has an agreement with Russia, before Donald Trump bombed Russia a few days ago, he had to take permission from Russia, bomb Syria. He had to inform them something was going to happen. That is the power. So the devil cannot just come and walk through your life without God. Amen. You're not responding to me.
Amen.
Maybe maybe we'll stand up and receive the message. Okay, you don't need to wait for me. You can stand up. When if you are dozing, get up. Amen.
Amen.
So we have a covenant relationship with God. If I get on the plane is not going to crash. I don't need to be praying abandoned all through the journey. Go, let it not crash, let it not crash. The covenant relationship with God. Amen. And God has enough resources to ensure that I go and come back. So he said, I'll be blessed going out, blessed coming back. I don't need to have a prayer meeting to ensure I go and come back. Amen. Hallelujah. So these are some of the benefits, so the basis of the relationship we have with God. If you're a student, God says you be the head and not the tail. No argument about it. Yes, you be the head and not the tail. So if you know that, you go to God and you get a blueprint. God might show you some exam questions. He might tell you what to read. He might do this and that for you. But you have to be diligent to walk in that. So there are other benefits, but I will not go so much into it. So we are speaking about the understanding darkened, blindness of the heart. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm jumping 2 Corinthians 3. I mentioned it on yesterday morning. So I'm jumping it. Let's go to 4. So we're looking at the darkness in the heart, the senses. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4 and 6. You see, in whom the God of this world had what? Blinded the minds of them which believe not. Remember, in your mind is your ability to see. You know, whenever I talked about the serpent, what does that serpent do to you? What does it do? It spits into your eyes, isn't it, so, brother? And in doing that, it blinds you physically. So in the spirit, it's the same thing. So the devil, first thing it does is to dull your senses, your ability to see, to respond to God, to receive the things that God is giving to you. So that's what he's showing here. He said that he has blinded the mind of them which do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine. So each time you receive a ministry of the word that's anointed, light is coming into your mind. Light is coming into your soul. Amen.
Amen.
So when you come to the scripture, you're not just coming and say that today, when they ask you, did you read your Bible? You say, yes, I read my Bible. It is a conscious effort you are making to convert your soul. Because when the light comes, it judges the darkness and it brings about a change. Amen. Now look at verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness had what? Shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of you. So there is a light that's shining. There's a light that's shining. Amen. And remember that the soul has the nature of darkness, has a fallen nature, has a seat of darkness that is there, and there are spirits that want to feed on it. So I must do something to counter it. So I must spend time on the word, you know. And what I'm doing, I'm bringing light into my soul. You know, that's what we are talking about this conference lunchtime. You know, it is an active, aggressive program to bring light, you know, and to convert the soul. I remember when you are converted, you are speaking about your appetite, your emotions, your desire, the way you feel it. It's the word that will be changing it, that will be, you know, bringing about that change. Let me read the last verse of 2 Corinthians 3, because it also brings about an important dimension of change. Alright? Verse 16 says, "Nevertheless, when you shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away." Now, when we speak about the veil, sometimes we do not put it properly in perspective. The veil is speaking about the living creatures in your soul. The Bible says that in the soul, there are four living creatures. Okay? And these natures, it speaks about the nature of the ego, referring to the mind, the nature of the lion, referring to the emotions, the nature of the ox or the lamb, speaking about the soul. Okay? And then it speaks about the fallen nature of the emotion, of the desire, which is like a serpent, which is an earthbound creeping, a creeping nature. So when he speaks about the veil, he's speaking about various natures that must be broken, that we must overcome, that need to be changed. Okay, let's give us an example. The Bible says in Isaiah 11 that the lion will eat grass like the ox. Lion normally doesn't eat grass. What does it feed? Feed on flesh. So when the lion is eating grass, what has happened? It has been converted. Amen. You can see, I can give you an example of some men who are lion, who are like lion, who began to eat grass. Daniel was one of them. He was drinking pulse. Lentils. It was grass, you know, vegetables. By the way, it says a dinner of herbs is better than... So that is encouraging us to take more of vegetables in the night. Amen. Okay. Amen.
Amen.
You should have not responded to me. What's going on? Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Amen.
Amen.
There's another man that ate that was eating pulse. What's his name? I can't remember. No, let's go on. So what he's saying here is that okay, I stopped. Where were we now? Okay, verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is a liberty. That means there's a conversion of these natures. That's what he's saying. Verse 18. But we all with open face do what? Beholding. What does beholding mean? It's seeing and senses. So ability to see is number one, number two, number three, it is everything. What do you do? Beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Our world changed. So the law of conversion is what? It's what you see that you are changed to. I thought I would hear a big amen.
Amen.
If you don't see, no change. So what does the devil do? He blinds you. So you don't even have a chance of seeing at all, at all. So don't even discuss change. Because you cannot...
You see darkness.
You see darkness. And you change your hair. You change to the darkness. And you know, there was somebody who did it. His name is Jacob. You know Jacob? He began to do some things, and he put it, and the animals will see, and they will bring forth. Amen. You know, so if we are seeing the glory of God, will we change the glory of God? If we are seeing a fashion model, that's my life is to be a fashion model, then that's what you're going to change to be. You know, if it's so, you know, if there are any physical things we are looking at, then that is what we are going to change to be. Praise God. All right. Psalm 13 verse 3. Psalm 13 verse 3. Yes. Yes. Is it a siesta? Do you know what a siesta? Sleep in the afternoon. That's after eating, you go and lie down and sleep. Because that will after about 1 or 2 hours you wake up. But which sleep is this one? It says the sleep of death. Amen. So somebody needs to be waking up. We need energy. So the eyes are shut down. I will say, God, open it, quicken it. Amen. Hallelujah. Acts 26, 18. Acts 26, 18. The best way to find sleep is to be open the scriptures. If you start, as I'm calling, you just be open, you see, sleep will disappear. Wait a moment, let everybody open. Acts 26, 18. Are you there? Okay, go and read.
Acts 26:18. Open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by the faith that is in me.
Okay. So this was the commission of Paul, and God sent him to open the eyes of the Gentiles. Okay, so he was an ophthalmologist, and they had glasses. So he will come to the Gentiles, and he will heal their physical eyes. Okay, so we know that was not the case. So he was speaking about the same nature, the opening of the eyes that they had to experience. Let's go to the popular one, which we know. We'll just read it for context. Ephesians 1:18. There's a prayer there. You can pray the prayer for yourself. You can pray the prayer for yourself every day. You pray it. From verse 16. It says, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Verse 17. That the God of our... Can we say it together? Can we read it 17 and 18 together? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of my calling and what are the riches of the glory of my inheritance in the saints. Amen.
Amen.
So you can read it. Just read it over and over. Apply it to yourself. That the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened, opened up, you know, so that your heart is sharp. In fact, when he talks about dullness, you know, blindness means, if you look at it, it says to be callous, that is, to grow thick. You're no longer sensitive, you know. But God begins to convert the soul, it begins to be sharp. It becomes like a television screen. Pick up things, you know. You can see things in front, things behind you, things happening now. You are aware, every part of you, the devil cannot come anywhere near you because you have already seen him. Amen.
Amen.
How would you love that to happen? Amen. Before the devil does anything, you have already known. You are miles ahead. Right now, we are struggling to even find out what's going on. Do you know why? Because our hearts are shut down. There is a covering. And that's why we must be converted. Amen. Okay, let's go to John. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. From 4. It says, verse 4 says, in him was life, and the life was what? The light of men. And the light shineth in darkness in my heart. And the darkness in my heart comprehended it not. Okay? Go to verse 8. It says, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteneth every soul that cometh into the world. Amen. So, speaking about that light, Luke 11, that's another good one there. We're just reading the scriptures to quicken us. You know, Luke 11, yes, from 30. Okay, let's start from 33, just for time. Luke 11:33. No man, when he had lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thy eye is single, thy whole body is full of light. But when thy eye is evil, the body is also full of darkness. Take heed. What Jesus 35, very dangerous. Take heed that the light which is in you is not. So it means that darkness is light. Amen. Can you imagine? That makes it feel like the light. And by the way, that is the light by which we were born. Let me say something quickly before I forget. Now, you know, look at Sissy, she's wearing a beautiful cloth. But you use your hand to sew it, isn't it? What cloth does your soul wear? It is the works of your heart that are the clothing. Amen.
Amen.
And that the things that come out of the heart clothes and covers the soul. It might be light, it may be darkness. So God is light. So if our soul is going to be converted, the more our hearts are purified, the more our works will be works of light, the more we'll be covered and clothed with light like God. Amen.
Amen.
And the devil, you don't need to bind the devil, he will be miles away from me. Because he cannot abide darkness, he abide light. Amen.
Amen.
So the biggest deliverance is not to say, how many demons are there? Tell me your name. Oh yeah, right now, there are 6,000 and so. No, number one, go mad. Number two, come out. That's an old-fashioned way of getting deliverance. Just change the heart. Change my heart, oh God. Let light flow out of my heart. And the devil will permanently pack.
Amen.
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 That's the biggest deliverance. The changing of the heart. Okay, we're almost done with this section. Let's look at 1 Peter 2, 1 Peter 2, 9. Okay. All right, so he's saying he's called us out of darkness into his marvelous life. Second Peter, while we are still in Peter, just go to Second Peter 1:19. Second Peter 1:19.
We have also a more sure word of
prophecy,
whereunto you do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in the darkness until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts.
Amen.
Amen.
So he's saying that darkness is my soul, is it not? And he's saying that, you know, it's light that's shining until. That means it shines brighter and brighter until the day star. That day star is Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Job tells us the day star is Christ. You know, so that is how Christ is going to come. That's how the conversion of our soul will be. Let's go on to Revelation 21. Read one or two there. Revelation 21. 21:23. Yes.
Twenty-four.
And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory upon them. Amen. So it says that the Lord will be the light thereof. Amen.
Amen.
So the Christ that comes is shining from within. So there is an inner light in you. There is, you know, and that's what the whole story of the lampstand, okay, is about this light that shines, the enlightenment. Now we need to understand the tabernacle. You know, the soul in the outer court is in the place of darkness. The soul in the outer court is in the place of darkness. Remember? So the soul comes in and is quickened, is being enlightened. But it doesn't have any light of its own. The light in the soul is not assured. Okay? So that's why we are going on and off. Sometimes we are in it, sometimes we're not. So we must make a transition into another, a higher relationship of light. And that is the experience of the lampstand. Okay, and there are seven lamps of fire burning. Okay, and that will bring light into the soul. So let me stop there, because so I don't go round and round. We will get there very soon. But we need to understand that the tabernacle is speaking of an experience. We get born again, light comes. If we remain there, we will only have the light of the what? Moon. That's why the Bible says the moon church. And the moon is a dark star. Is that correct? The moon is a dark star. Is that correct? If you don't know, Professor, you don't know. This moon is a dark star. It has no light of its own. It only does what? It only reflects the light that comes to it. Amen.
Amen.
So, brethren, when you are born again, it's a moon experience. We receive light. Say, the light is shining. When the light doesn't shine, when I go into sin, the light is cut off. No more light. It's like God has forsaken me. I cannot hear God. God, where are you? Amen.
Amen.
He said the reason, the underlying reason is that this soul is still in a very low frequency. Just one step ahead. In the world, there's no light at all. But so when the soul comes in here, yes. But it's only reflecting the light of the glory of God. Therefore, the soul must transit to a place where there is a higher dimension of life. But that is just the sun. This one is the sun. The light here is the light that is coming from the cat. So you can say it is the sun. The woman clothed with the sun. Clothed with the sun. But the real glory is the glory where the Lord is the glory thereof. Amen. And the thing here is that the soul is now united. So he that is joined unto the Lord is what? One spirit. Amen. Oh my God, what are you? Amen.
Amen.
So somebody says, my greatest need is to be joined unto the Spirit of Christ. Amen. So it's not just to have anointing. Anointing comes and goes. The soul is not saved. It's not fully converted. The soul is converted when that soul is united, made one. And that is what this thing is saying. Because remember, in this place, you say God dwells between the cherubims. And God says, I will meet you between the wings of the cherubims. And meaning that my soul has been converted from a beastly soul to the nature of the cherubim. That is, my soul is such that the glory of God can come to dwell. Amen. So why are we saying all this? We are saying it because there is a tendency for us to feel good that we have already arrived. Paul says, I count not myself to have attained. Amen. But what does he do? He says, I press on to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So the soul must press on to a point of complete conversion. Alright, so I think we should jump now. We are already there. We are already talking about experiences here. Just for mentioning, we know that the experience of a believer, the place of baptism, consecration, and sanctification. But the story is that Christ has come into the soul. Remember in the morning, when Brother Hubert was talking, we'll talk about the four elements, the spirit, the soul, sorry, the fallen nature of the soul, the darkness, the devils, and then we'll talk about Christ in the soul. Alright? But right now, I want to jump into the holy place. These two experiences, we will take it and then we will begin to wind down. Let's look at Exodus 25, verse 37. Exodus 25, 37. It says, Exodus 25:37 says, and thou shalt make the seven lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it. So the purpose of the tabernacle, of the light, is to shine and to give light. We see the same thought in Leviticus 24. Leviticus 24:2. It says, command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually. You know, so the purpose of the light of the oil was for the lamp to burn continuously, and that's part of what I was explaining. That, by the way, in the outside here, the light is a temporary light. When night comes, it ceases. But when we go in, we come into another dimension in which the light that's coming to our soul is more continuous, is more of a higher quality. And it says that it may burn continually. Psalm 18 brings another thought. Psalm 18 verse 28. Yes. Okay. So say, for thou will light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten. So you can see the candle is speaking about this experience of a lampstand. And it says the Lord that lights the candle. We read something that says something in that direction. We looked at Proverbs 20:27. Just next door. Proverbs 20:27. It says, the spirit of man is what? The candle of the Lord, searching or giving light all the inward parts of it. So you can see that thought. The progression of the light that is coming in the soul, where the Lord, the Spirit of God, is bringing a quickening, is lightening. And as that is going, the nature of the soul is changing. More light is in the soul, and the soul begins to function by that. Let's go to Job 18. Job 18, verse 5. Job 18, 5 says, yea, the light of the wicked shall be put out, and the spark of his fire shall not shine. So look at the opposite. What is the opposite? The light of the righteous shall not be put out, and the spark of his fire will continually shine brighter and brighter and brighter. Amen. So those are the two things. That's it. The light shall be dark in his tabernacle. Tabernacle means body and soul. And his candle shall be put out with him. Amen. So if you read the converse again, it says the light shall be light in his tabernacle, and his candle shall continually shine and not be put out. Amen. So it's our responsibility for this light to shine, for us to walk in the Spirit. Now, what does it mean that we're walking in the Spirit? Remember, We said Christ comes into the soul when the blood comes. It doesn't stop there. But the Spirit is not there yet. The Spirit of God hasn't come in yet. Now, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, what happens? The Spirit of God comes into your spirit as a deposit. Alright, but Rupert was telling us that the fridge is sold. Alright, your soul is sold. But it has not been fully paid for. In other words, the Spirit of God has not yet come into your soul. So what happens? So when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost into your spirit, that light, that walking of the Spirit in your spirit begins to evade your soul. Amen. So as it's coming into your soul, what happens? The dark darkness that is in the soul, which came in through Adam, begins to be broken down. The frequency or the authority of the kingdom of darkness to feed and receive energy from the darkness in you will be broken down. And the Spirit of God is coming in because it's a refreshing, brings life, it begins to quicken the Christ in you to grow. So the Christ in you is growing. Okay? Now, if Christ in you is growing, something happens. The nature of your soul begins to imbibe the Christ. So this is the weak, this thing here. And then there's oil around. So what do you think is happening? This weak speaks of your soul or your humanity. So the soul is in Christ. Amen. And the soul that is in Christ is gradually absorbing the oil. So the oil is gradually seeping into the soul. So what is he saying? The nature, that fallen nature, begins to be converted, begins to draw in the life and the nature of Christ. Okay, and then what happens? It burns brighter and brighter. So that's why, that's the light. So this is the oil, and the wick is drawing and is growing brighter. So what is happening is that my soul nature is becoming one with the Spirit of God. It's beginning to function with the Spirit of God. The energy of heaven, the energy of God, is now what is quickening me. So if you are to do something, if your activity, the things that you are doing, not by your energy, not by your strength, say not by power, not by mind, but by what? By the Spirit of God. Because see, you are now walking in a higher dimension of light. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the easiest way to walk in the light is through the Word of God. Because you can read it. Now, immediately you start reading the Word of God, your mind becomes spiritual. And the oil starts running. Amen. So someone say, how do I get the Spirit? You get the Spirit when you turn your mind to the Spirit. And the Word of God is spirit and life. Do you understand? So that's why the very natural way to get to the Spirit is through the Word of God. Because the word you hear, they are spirit and they are life. So remember, the word is the sword of the Spirit. Anywhere the word is, the Spirit will be. So what do you find next? Because this is the Spirit, the lampstand is the Spirit. It gives light to everything in the room. So you can see the bread, to eat the bread. So in other words, the Spirit will reveal the word, will quicken the word. Alright? But when we talk about the Word of God, we're actually speaking about the mind of Christ. So it is the mind of Christ with your own mind. So it's mind to mind. Alright? Let's read Genesis 1:14. We'll soon close. We just have two more. In the next few minutes we'll close. Genesis, we're just looking at the principles. Next time we'll go into detail. 1:14, yes. That's the principle there. Okay, now there's a principle. What does the light here do? The light shines and gives light to the earth. Isn't that so? And that light is to rule. Isn't that? So the word, this is the fourth station, or the fourth experience, or the fourth day. So this is number 1, 2, this is 3, this is 4, this is 5, this is 6, and this is 7. So we are number 4. Alright? So the fourth experience is where the light rules. Okay, so this is light ruling the darkness. And we get a sense of that because on this table there is something you see here. What is this? There is a crown pointing up. You also see a crown pointing down. So the crown points up and down, up and down, up and down. So what's he saying? Crown means rule, authority. Alright? So you cannot have dominion over darkness without the light. I don't know if you get the principle. It is light that rules the darkness. So the word of God that God sends to you is what strengthens your soul to have dominion over darkness. Alright, so let's read the principle. Let's read the, where do we see that? So let's look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119. No. 119, 105, and 130. 105 and 130. Okay, I can read it. 119, verse 105, and verse 30.
The lamp unto my feet, and the light unto my path.
Okay. So the word of God is a lamp and a light. So that is what he's speaking about in Genesis 1:14. Psalm 130, you can read verse. Psalm 119, verse 130.
The entrance of the word is giving light. Given understanding unto
the simple. Now, the simple is the soul. The simple, someone who is simple means doesn't have wisdom, doesn't have understanding. Okay? So it says, the entrance of that word, it giveth light. Alright? It gives direction. So when the word comes, it judges the darkness. That's what the crown pointing down means. It brings. It's a place of judgment. So the word that comes brings judgment. Any word of God that comes to you that does not bring judgment, you have to question it. Okay? And the natural attitude is that the soul will want to defend. And we heard that yesterday. There's a tendency it's trying to explain the word, you are trying to defend, because the word is judging. Hebrews 4 gives us that thought also.
Hebrews 4:12.
Okay. Amen. So that's the power of the word. So as the word is coming, it's pointing back downwards, it's ruling, it's judging, it's exposing. breaking open. That's what the word does. So the more of the word, it says, let the word of God dwell in us, what? Richly. Okay, and as that word, someone says, that word have I hidden in my heart? That is, so that word is judging, is, you know, breaking and all that. But it doesn't stop there. It does something else. That the Christ is functioning of, and that is dominion. So the word is judging the darkness that it might bring to my soul authority to rule over the darkness. Amen. So that's how you know the word of God. As it comes, it's sharp, but in it comes deliverance. In it comes life to rule and to reign. You know, another example is sharp knives. You know, when they were crossing over, he said, make sharp knives and circumcise them again. So the word of God is sharp to cut off and to judge the excesses of the flesh. Okay, so that brings us into the final territory. And that territory is the territory of offering. The soul must be beheaded. You know, when he was speaking in the morning, he talked about that, cutting off the head of Goliath. So this is the place, beheading. That, the head of the soul is darkness with the devil for his angels. This is the head that must be removed for Christ to become the head of the soul. So that is the purpose of this golden altar where the soul is offered to Christ. But you cannot offer a soul to Christ that has a head of. So the soul must be beheaded, and then Christ can become the head of the soul. And the scripture that flashed before me now, forgotten, about the beheading of the soul. I can't. He's gone now. Okay, but okay, let's look at let me take the final thought. I'm sure I'll get it back now. The final place where the soul is converted, the final destination of the converted soul, or the redeemed, you can say the redeemed soul, this is the redeemed soul, and this is the bride of Christ. This is the bride of Christ. Okay. Is where the soul becomes joined unto Christ and becomes one. I think I can, let's read this scripture, 1 Corinthians 3. It says something there. 1 Corinthians 3. Is this 3:16 or 6:16? I think it's 1 Corinthians 6:16, sorry. I think 6:16. Okay. That's 17. One spirit. So this is the union. This is the final destination. Oneness. The marriage of a lamb. And there is that great story, Matthew 25, of the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins. The virgins, they are all speaking about our soul, this soul that is making the journey. You know, some people have stopped at different points, you know, but God wants us to press on, because we have a desire, we have a destination to be joined unto Christ, for the fullness of Christ to be fully manifested in our soul. And you see, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. There's an evidence of marriage. When there's a marriage, there must be evidence. When the soul is joined to Christ, it must have an evidence. And that evidence are the three things you find inside the ark. And what are those three things? One is the table, the pot of manna, is it not? The manna. Manna speaks of energy. Manna speaks of energy. Let's read Revelation 7, I think 20 or something. That just gives us an idea of what we are talking about. Revelation 7, sorry, I think 16. No, start from 15.
Therefore, I say before the throne of God, and send you day and night to the temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall be torn the life of them, nor any.
That's 17. Okay, so he's speaking about the ministry of Christ to the soul. So Christ will feed and will meet, you know, our need for life, our need for strength. There are things we want to do, we're asking God for strength. Most times we are looking to get the strength from outside. But someone says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help comes from where? From the Lord. Good. And where is that Lord? Within the soul. Amen. So if Christ is dwelling within, we need to learn how to draw life, and it comes from fellowship. You know, we need to draw life from the Christ within, you know, that gives us, and that life is a piece of emotion. Sometimes we need strength in our minds, in our emotions, in our desires, you know, to choose. Sometimes our emotions can be unstable. It's all a function of that relationship, that energy. You know, so that is, if we have access to Christ, then we also have a right for that life and strength. You know, it says he's the lion of the tribe of Judah. You know, lion speaks of emotion. The emotion doesn't necessarily need to be wild. It can be stable in God. Amen. The second one is what? Is the table, the two tablets, you know, the tables of the covenant. The tables of the covenant. And we can't go too much into this, but it's a writing. It's a writing upon the soul, upon the conscience. Okay, let's just read one scripture to address that, and we'll go to the last thing. Romans 2:14. Romans 2:14. Starts from really from 12 to 15.
Romans 2:14.
Start from 12, just to give a context.
For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves.
Verse 15.
I wish which you and the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the mean well accusing or else exercising one
another.
Excusing one another.
So the essential thing is saying there is a law written in their hearts. Alright? So the first law God wrote was on the physical table, all right. But the second one is writing, upon the tables of the heart, and that is the permanent law. And this law will address the law of sin and death that is within. The one you are talking about, that law. There's a writing. Yes, there. Okay. God says, "I will put my law in the inward part." Okay, and it's a product of union with Christ, our walk with Him. And then finally, the Aaron's rod is the last thing that you will find here. Okay. So that's the Aaron's rod. Aaron was a priest. And there was a contention between Aaron and the other people regarding who was the truly anointed. So the priesthood comes when we overcome darkness. And that is, you see, the tree was a physical tree that was there, but it was converted, it was changed, and it became living. It brought forth fruit, it brought forth almonds, as it stayed in the presence of God. You know, so the whole message from beginning to the end is speaking to us that the soul can be converted, and it is the will of God to change our soul. It's not going to be by, you know, I don't want to use the word magic, by wishing. It has to be by a relationship, our walk with God. And in that walk, we go from one level to the other. But the important thing is that the walk begins when we see the kingdom, when we come to that place of judgment. And it is all about the heart. It's all about the blindness in the heart, in the understanding, the veil over the realms of my soul. As I come to Christ, the light of God begins to shine and increase until Christ Himself becomes the light. You know, and that's what the Bible says, cause a life-giving spirit, or a spiritual soul, no longer in bondage, no longer asleep, but fully awake in God, you know, with the light of God. And he says, you know, that they will walk in the light of that glory that's within. You know, so we can speak to it, and it's a vision that we need to have. Our vision is not to fly away. Our vision is what? The coming forth of Christ within our soul. The change of our soul from a beggarly, weakling prisoner to a son of God, fully liberated, fully enlightened, functioning by the inward light and seeing. So that is the man that is coming on the earth, and that's God's answer to all the problems of the world, you know. And the people God is looking for are you and me. We are the raw materials that God is speaking to. And God said He will have a son, and He sent a man, Jesus Christ, and He walked in it. And He says the same spirit that was in Christ is the same spirit that is in us, working to reproduce that will of God. Praise God. I don't know if there's any question before we pray. I know time is gone, but if there's any question, we can deal with it quickly. Okay, praise God.